This is the Rush Hour Podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Cold this morning when I got up from you, Brown.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Do you have any?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, hard to get too excited, Fat, yes, with what's going on the other side of the globe. It's just
spot on, Jim.
Astounding that this stuff continues to happen and the reason why.
Yeah, why? Tell me why, Jim.
No idea. None of us have any idea. So we're going to get, hopefully shortly, to Kath Turner in Manchester, yep, for the 7 News Room. Leroy will jump in when she's ready. But I can tell you what's coming up in the show. Chris Judd going to join us, superstar, of course, and now a big part of Triple M footy. Shani Layton in the second half.
Oh, you'll hear her.
Yeah, exactly. From the Magpies, of course, playing very nice netball too.
Yep.
Social media, we're going to get to the top five there. How do you do that, Leroy?
Yep, you can get in touch with us via Twitter and Facebook at Triple M Rush Hour.
All right, and a couple of nice bits of interaction with the family as well. Hello to you, fam.
Hey, g'day, Jim. You're right. You're spot on over there. Our thoughts go out to everyone in Manchester. G'day to you. G'day to the listeners. And g'day to you, Leroy.
Nah, mate, it's Todd from Bowen Head. Simmons is shit out.
I'll tell you what, Leroy. No more Todd. No more Todd. Fair dinkum, Todd.
All right, so get stuck into the social media, as I say. Just before 5 o'clock, we've got a very big prize to hand out.
Yeah, we've got a triple M merchandise pack there. But boys, we need to get to Kath Turner now, who's the 7 News Europe correspondent in Manchester.
Horrendous news out of Manchester. The bombing during a concert that we understand has left at least 19 people dead and up to 50 injured. We need to get now to Kath Turner, who is over there for the 7 News. She's their European correspondent, and she joins us. Kath, welcome.
Hello, guys.
What a horrendous situation this is. Young people enjoying a concert have every right to leave it and still be alive.
Just shocking. I can't get these pictures out of my head. These are young girls, as young as 7 or 8 years old, going with their mother, with their sisters, with their family to a concert, somewhere you can relax and escape and have a great time. And then to come out of that same arena, having been caught up in such a horrific accident, many of them injured, many of them traumatized, shocked, so screaming that they wanted to go home, some of them still clutching their pink Ariana balloons and T-shirts. Just absolutely devastating to think that they were the target of this attack. What's also just deeply upsetting is that we're still hearing stories about children who have not yet been reunited with their parents, or they don't know where they are, or they are lost, or parents unable to find their children. That has got to be the worst nightmare that anyone could ever imagine.
These bombings at social events are becoming more and more prevalent for whatever reason none of us can understand. Has there been any motive, any word as to why the hell this even occurred?
Not at this stage. Look, there's a lot of unofficial chatter, but traditionally the British authorities are a lot more tight-lipped. They don't like to speculate out loud, especially to the media. They won't release information until they are 100% sure. What we can say, though, is that the British Prime Minister, the Home Secretary here, have called it a terrorist attack. There has been some words from US officials that they believe it was a suicide bomber. And certainly some of the injuries that we're hearing described with shrapnel suggest that it may have been a nail bomb. Now, that is all consistent with a terrorist attack that we have seen many times before. We have not had any claim of responsibility as of yet. That normally comes in about the 24 to 36 hours after an attack like this. But it certainly is, you know, upsettingly familiar with a lot of the stories that I've covered in this region.
So, Kath, you're there, you're on the ground. What's it like? I've read where witnesses have said it's like a war zone there.
Yeah, we've actually been pushed back quite away from the arena as it stands. The police have put a sort of perimeter of about a kilometre back. So we haven't been able to get so close to the arena. I mean, this far back where we are, you know, Manchester is just starting to wake up. It's just gone 6 o'clock. A lot of people who are just getting up now, may well have gone to bed after this attack occurred and are just waking up to this horrific news that this has happened on their doorstep. They're just trying to get their head around it, seeing people try and go about their daily business. But there's a lot of media where I am. They're kind of very curious about what's going on and starting to come to terms with the fact that this has occurred right on their backyard.
Hey, and you got a feel for Ariana Grande. She's, as I understand it, a wonderful young entertainer, putting a concert on for people who love her. And now she's had to, as I understand it, cancel the rest of her tour. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, she's just 23 herself. Mm. I mean, to have to... Her tweet says it all. She's broken, and she's the one apologising as if it was somehow her fault. And that's what's so devastating about these kind of attacks, when they are at a place that's meant to be joyful and fun and relaxing. There's so many of these other events that I've been to, you know, the attack in Nice with the July 4th celebration. This poor artist will now forever be associated with this attack. Her management team have put out a lengthy statement saying that they are completely shaken and shocked. They obviously have suspended it. How could anyone possibly go back on stage after this kind of trauma that is now, you know, that has scarred everyone involved for the rest of their lives, I would suggest.
Well, Kath, we know how busy you are, so we appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes of your time from the 7 newsroom, of course, over there in Europe. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
From the Friday Huddle, part of Triple M Footy, Chris Judd joins us in studio.
Oh, Christopher.
Superstar.
Dylan.
Hey, by the way, had you the Friday Huddle at your joint?
Yes.
We haven't had you in since then. Did they leave it in one piece?
Yes, had a very good session down there in the cave. Everyone brought some appropriate refreshments, Bill, and we solved a few of the world's problems, so we had a very good night
down
there.
And what did you wear at one stage?
I was in ceremonial dress, Bill, so that was the dressing gown and the eyes wide shut, sort of a mask type setup, which
Where'd you
is
get
traditional
that?
Dress.
Where'd you get it from?
Just an establishment pretty close by, Bill. So
we had a little bird tell us that it might have been of the the adult variety.
Yes. May have popped into Sexyland just to make sure that there was a mask available, Bill. But I must point out that there are naming rights available for the cave. So if Sexyland or someone else wants to step up for a commercial agreement, we can look at that in due course.
Who, now that we've got the Duke, Howie, Nath Brown, Damo, anyone I'm missing? Beside yourself in that gathering? Was
it, the big nose producer was there.
Tunnel Cliff. So who was the worst on ground? Who was the worst behaved?
Well, I mean, Howie was disappointed.
Well, because he left early.
He was just in and out, which is sort of the type of operator we're dealing with.
Yeah,
with
no, that was disappointing.
He's very greedy, Howie. If there's not an extra dollar in it for him, he doesn't want to hang around.
Has to get home, doesn't he? The Bowen Heads. Just has to get home.
He does. Yeah, he does. I mean, maybe if he made his partner an honest woman, Bill, and put a ring on it, maybe he'd get a little bit more leeway. But as it currently stands...
I kept saying that to him because we were on air together and he talks about the Dahl and the missus, but they're actually not married.
And I think he appreciated that feedback too, Bill.
No, he didn't. And she didn't either, apparently.
What about the other end of the spectrum? So if his disappointing behaviour was departing early, which we know is poor, what about the person that you probably had to hint 4 or 5 times that it was time for them to leave and they just wouldn't take the hint and stayed? Who was that?
I think El Tunnicliffe. He had himself penciled in there till Monday morning. He started demanding chocolates and, you know, what else have we got? What's for brekkie tomorrow?
Yeah, that's it.
You
know? And the least important person in the room.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, let's talk AFL footy. The jumper punch, or just punching full stop, even if they're little sort of gutty punches like we saw with Cunnington and Bernard Vince. Stamp it out, let it go. What do you think?
Well, look, I think what happens is sides work out what they're able to get away with and then they sort of abuse it. And then I think the AFL needs to come out and say, right, this is happening too much from here on until the season's out. If it's a jumper punch with sufficient force, you're getting a week. And that'll probably calm it down. But I think so long as you can't just then slap a ban on something that wasn't a month ago without being transparent that the process has changed, if you like, because it is getting a little bit ridiculous.
But is it the sufficient force bit that causes the problem? You know, because then it's up for adjudication. Lots of people are now saying any form of punch, just cop a week and it'll
get
stop.
A week.
No,
if you throw
I don't like those black and white rules, JB. It's a bit like
Knowledge and wisdom. Do you want me to go through that?
No.
Okay. Well, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put the tomato in the fruit salad, Bill. And that's what we need down there at the MRP.
Oh.
Understanding that, Bill?
I just found out today what tossing the salad means.
Thank you, Bill. The bounce, your thoughts on that? We've seen the newly laid area at Etihad causing, you know, the umpires all sorts of problems with actually bouncing the ball. Is it time we just abandon it altogether?
I think it's going, realistically. And I think we all, you know, all footy fans, moan and groan a lot about the umpires. I think we want to attract the best quality umpires we possibly can to the game. At the minute, if we're not getting the best decision-making umpires umpiring each weekend because some of them can't bounce, then I think, you know, I think it's probably time to look at it. So I know the umpires are incredibly passionate about it.
They are. About getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want it. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So, I mean, I think they spend a huge amount of their week training for that bounce.
Do you like the bounce yourself?
Well, ideally, but if you bounce it and it's getting called back, or if the umpires are spending more time on that than making the correct decisions, then I think that their time could be better allocated.
And really, I was watching the game on the weekend where the young lady, who I thought did a great job, was umpiring, and they started throwing it up after half time because of that newly laid piece of turf.
Yeah.
Watching the game, Juddy, after about 5 minutes, I thought, because there were about four centre bounces in that time, or four centre throw-ups, I thought, does it actually matter? Like, you're passionate about it until you see it thrown up, and then you think, well, really? You can live with that.
Yeah, I get the tradition argument, but when it goes on a wet day or for other circumstances, I don't think you really miss it.
What about the Richmond Footy Club? Losing another close one, another real, real tight one. Surely you train for that, don't you?
Well, you do. They're having a bit of a run. Having said that, they're playing some pretty good footy.
Are.
I mean, it's a pretty good effort to get within a kick of GWS and the week before, obviously, the Freo game was a really good match. So I think they've improved remarkably from where they were last year, albeit they've just got to tidy up that pointy end, which is a lot easier to do than sorting out the first 90 minutes of a game.
The week before, the Monday set shot, did that ever happen to you in your career? Did you ever have
no,
a kick after
no,
the
in side? Under-18s it did,
yes,
but never in never in AFL.
How did it shut up, Bill? Because everyone knows what you're
thinking. How did you go?
How did that go in
I got the chocolates in under-18s, so that was that was a special day. But
geez, you did it well. I know we're going back 2 weeks, but I loved watching that. Seasoned professional
amazing.
Just go back and slide.
Straight away he knew, didn't he?
Yeah,
it was good.
And he didn't just kick the goal. No. It was pierced the middle, didn't it? So
that takes some serious minerals, I reckon.
It does.
He missed the last one, didn't he? But then the one before that, he got. He's had three goes at his career, hasn't he?
The one before, I reckon, was just before the siren. Like only about
four or five seconds.
It was quite a way out, though, too.
It was a real good kick.
And then he hit the post down at Geelong, remember? And that was a long way out, too.
Yeah, okay.
Hit the post.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
He is a great kick of the footy.
He is. Hey, Stephen May. So he hasn't signed yet. He's a co-captain, by the way. He's going to wear number 67 this week. And I'll tell you why in a minute.
Right.
And co-captain with Tom Lynch is going to wear number 50, which I'll tell you in a minute because it's all here.
Well,
just in your own time, Bill.
Yeah, well, I've got to find out why. But he's a very, very good player. There'd be a lot of clubs lining up for him, Christopher Dillon.
Well, they're both very good players, aren't they? But one thing about Gold Coast is their key position stocks are very rich, aren't they? With 2 metre Peter, those two guys.
No, you can't afford to lose him.
No.
Stephen May.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it didn't sound like it.
Well, you've misinterpreted me, but I think he's a very good player and they shouldn't lose him. One of the things they've already got nailed down is their goal-to-goal line, Bill. So I'm sure they'll be working very hard to keep him.
Right. Now,
why are they wearing those numbers?
Well, because he's the competition's only Indigenous captain,
right.
Stephen May, and he'll wear number 67 to mark the year, 1967, in which the referendum was passed to include Aborigine as part of the census.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? 1967. So he's going to wear 67. Yep. And Lynch is going to wear number 50 to mark the 50-year anniversary. Big numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It'll be interesting. And two captains wearing that. So good on those boys. But I like him, Stephen May. Like, there'll be a couple of clubs. Say, mate, you get him there, you got your fullback for another 8 years. Bang.
How long, now be honest with me here, Christopher, please. How long in your last season for West Coast did you know you were leaving and playing for a club in Melbourne? If it wasn't Carlton, did you just know you were going?
I think going into that year, I was pretty clear. I thought this would be my last year at the footy club, albeit you know that things can change throughout that time. But yeah.
Did you find motivation playing for West Coast at all difficult knowing you were leaving at the end of the year?
No, I didn't. And I really wanted to give as much as I could that year because I think there was an underlying guilt that I was going to be taking off.
So therefore, for a Dustin Martin, for instance, if he doesn't stay at Richmond, or for anyone, you know, Stephen May you just mentioned, the one thing I don't think you can question in an AFL footballer is, even if he's made up his mind he's going somewhere else, you've got to think that they're still going to play as well as they can, if not better, because of what you just said.
Yeah, and most of the time when guys are leaving footy clubs, often it's because they're going home. It's nothing to do with that footy club per se. So they haven't, you know, got the year it's with the footy club. So, yeah, naturally they'd want to give as much as they possibly could.
Dangerfield's a classic, isn't he? He wanted to go home for family, and he played a really good
best
year.
Best and fairest winner in his last year at Adelaide.
He's the best player in the comp.
I think he is, isn't he? He was incredible on Friday night. Been nursing some sore ribs, we hear, from all reports. But they looked like they were back to pretty good condition on Friday.
Who else do you love?
I reckon Dustin Martin's really good to watch.
He hasn't signed either.
He hasn't signed. Too. Josh Kelly is playing some serious footy up there as well. I know the Kangas are
very much
right into him. But
I would hope so.
Yeah, no, I mean, the list could go on forever. Even Buddy. I still think Buddy, for how good he is and how much forward pressure he puts on, I think he probably gets underrated in the conversation as well.
I used to call footy with Gary Lyon for many years, who was very open with the fact that he had a very much a forward bent when he watched footy. In fact, he said, I pretty much was the forward half, and Bud, you can look after the bloody dolts in the back. But are you like that with midfielders when you watch footy? Is that really what you're mainly looking at?
Yeah, I think I am. Not consciously, but it's just sort of how you see the game. It's what you're looking out for. I probably have a bias towards the importance clearances playing the game because when I was playing footy, that's sort of where my head was at.
And I imagine you're quite glad you're not playing now, because now they're throwing four or five more players up at every stoppage. It would have been hard to do those Judd-esque bursts out of away from Judges. Clearances
would have been, but you know what? I just reckon they've opened up a little bit again now. I think they were more clogged up when that out of bounds rule came in. So probably 2 or 3 years ago was when they were more clogged up. But anyway,
all right, we need to take a break. More with Chris Judd after this.
Chris Judd in studio with us.
Now, what is going on, Juddy, with your old mob, the West Coast Eagles? Oh, as soon as they get a boarding pass, they're bloody useless.
They've struggled, haven't they? I mean, they had a great win against Port Adelaide in Adelaide, but I think there's been plenty said about how disappointing they've been over here.
Yeah, but why does it happen? Especially with a club like that you remember playing there. Every second week you got to travel.
Yeah, so what did you do?
You're better at it than anyone else.
Do you do something to...
No, I didn't do anything different.
Take a pillow?
I think a lot of the players, when I played, really valued playing well in big games or playing well away, and it almost becomes... In amongst yourselves, you don't really celebrate a win at home like you do a win away, because that's what's more important. And I mean, clearly that's what they'd be trying to do internally. And I think they'd be scratching their head as to why they play so badly. But, you know, when you see them lose here, their midfield just gets smacked, don't they? And Essendon look terrific, full credit to them, but it's hard to understand why the difference can be so great.
Some talk today, should they keep their veterans they picked up like Petrie and Sam Mitchell?
I think they'll see where they are at the end of the year, but I don't think they're super close to a flag. I think they're in that 5 to 8 sort of bracket at the minute. Mm-hmm. And I think they're probably looking to get some more youth into that team.
Nick Hill off the Twitter, Juddy. Nick of time. Juddy, how do you rate Cripps? And is he the Blues' next captain?
I think he's a superstar. Well, a superstar in the making. He's, he's a great kid. He's got great values and his ability to win the ball and play that contested side of the game. And he started to take some marks too. So I think he's going to be a star. And I think, him or Sam Doherty will probably be the next captain of the Blues at some stage.
Sad news with Sam Rowe. We were only talking about him, can't remember who with, someone recently. Well, a current player.
Sam Doherty was in, wasn't it?
It might have been Sam Doherty.
Sam Doherty, you're right.
Well said, Leroy. About how poor bastard Sam Rowe has had to put up with thousands of entries and the opposition's biggest guerrilla force. Yes. And I reckon in the face of that, he's done a bloody good job.
He's done a really good job. He's one of the really good blokes down there at Carlton. A bit of an older school type player and operator. So really sad to see him go down with that ACL and, hopefully it heals as well as it can and he's back out there next year.
He's a very good player. Hey, are you an organ donor? On Wikipedia, it says that you, Christopher Dillon, are an organ donor.
You told me that, and I might be, Bill. I think
what organ?
Anyone's they want.
Bill. I am.
Yeah. You are.
Are you not an organ donor?
Well, I don't know if I've ticked the box or not.
You should be, Bill.
Get around to it.
What do you donate?
Well, everything. Anything that's going to keep help someone else once I'm not here. That's not an organ, Bill.
Little ticker.
Do you understand what the word organ stands for? Well, arms aren't an organ, you halfwit.
Well, what is an organ?
Certainly, the big far lap I've got on here would keep someone alive. Keep a
little
tic-tac.
What about the tic-tac downstairs?
Not sure the liver would be that sort of
a bit lower. Juddy.
I don't know whether that'd help anyone, but you should, Bill.
Yes.
Because it might well keep someone alive.
Good on you, Christopher.
Just start thinking about someone else for a minute.
Exactly
Bill.
Right, Bill.
Christopher Dillon. Yep. You wanted to be called Dillon Christopher, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. Bill. Well, my old man was Andrew Christopher.
Oh, yes.
I'm Christopher Dillon, so I wanted to name Oscar Dillon something, and yeah. that something would be our grandchild's first name.
Ah.
I told Beck this was a long-standing family tradition that had been going on for generations.
And what happened?
Well, she'd sort of got her head around that our firstborn was going to have to be called Dillon until she did a bit of investigating and decided she didn't like the name Dillon, and Oscar it was, Bill.
So. It only went back two generations.
That's true. One. Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I think if you push it out of your genitalia, you should get naming rights, Bill. That's always been the rule in our house.
I'm with you. And, Anthony William in my family.
And Beck won that battle.
Comfortably.
How is the old man? I run into him a couple of times a year, and he likes a frothy and a bet.
Andy from Sandy, he's good. He's down there at the Sandy pub regularly.
He is, bloody oaf. He likes a bet and a frothy. He's a good fella.
He is.
So I'd be drinking with him. I go, what's wrong with your son?
Hey, Jody, I just finished watching an amazing documentary on David Bowie, who I'm a massive Bowie fan, by the way. And he said during one stage, he moved to New York City because he said he couldn't live in London and he couldn't live in LA because everywhere he went, people just terrorised him. Whereas he said, New York's gold because no one gives a stuff and I can walk around doing whatever I want. Is this the same issue you're going to have? Are you going to have to move to Sydney or somewhere because you're just becoming too sort of massive?
No, it's a big risk, JB, especially with my Friday night work. You know, it's only a matter of time before the masses start catching on to that.
Jet set. You might have to jet set down and then out again.
Have you been called in yet?
Called in where, Bill?
Just to the office here.
To congratulate me on some of the stuff I'm dishing up.
That and some, how far you've gone.
Don't know what you're talking about, Bill. You sound like you're trying to tell a story.
Envelope's getting pushed, Jim, and I love it. I love that's what he knows the line and he walks it beautifully.
Mm. Unlike Toby Green, Bill, I just play my best radio on the line at the minute.
Hey, I want to ask you about that. Oh, look at this. There's Larrikins and Legends. It's a Carlton golden era celebrating.
It's television, Bill. We're on the radio. People can't see what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's a new book out. You would know about this new book at Carlton. It's all about Larrikins and the Legends and Dominator and Big Wows there. You didn't get invited to this?
I missed out on that. I think that's the 79-82 sort of era. Sort of crew. Bill,
they were the good old days, weren't they?
Good old days. Look at them having a couple of froths.
What about this radio? Bill's just staring at a television and talking about something no one in their car.
But it's a great old days of Carlton.
Is that what
Jim?
It is?
Oh, who did you barrack for when you were growing up, Juddy?
I was a Melbourne supporter.
He was.
Why?
Well, my old man barracked for Sydney. He's an old South Melbourne fan, and I decided I didn't want to barrack for them. So I thought I live in Melbourne, I'll barrack for Melbourne. It made a lot of sense as a 3-year-old.
Who did you have on the duffel coat?
I had Big G Line. I had Jimmy Steins were the two numbers I had as a kid.
Good work.
Yeah.
Mm. And then Superstar over there. Mm, interesting.
Ever listen to Bill. How do you reckon, as we let you go, Juddy, how do you reckon Bill's going at the minute?
The tab ad. I think there's
plenty of room for improvement.
The tab ad. I want to ask you about that too.
What about that? Bill, it's a product I was very passionate about and just...
What, the tab? The TAB?
Thought I'd get behind it.
How long did that ad take? Where... He comes up and starts singing to you, and you're doing some of your best acting across the room.
It's half a day when you sort of one take Charlie. That's all I need.
How long did it take?
Maybe it was half a day, Bill. And not easy either to look like that. You know,
but... You just had to look at him. He's singing to you.
My eyes are talking, Bill.
What'd you get for that?
It wasn't about the money. It's about the relationships.
Juddy, great seeing you. Thanks for dropping by. Look forward to hearing you Friday night, of course, in the huddle.
Thank you, JB.
All right, time to get the family involved, 133353 style.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty simple question, Bill.
What is it?
And it goes like this. Can you name me anything that's more useless than Lego?
Lego?
I'll tell you why.
Lego, Jim.
My youngest son, Freddie, loves it, right? Loves it. And he's clearly got one of those brains that's very good at it.
Yeah.
So he's only 9, but he can get a quite involved, you know, box of Lego.
Yeah.
and he'll have it made in like 15 minutes.
A space shuttle or something.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mm, yep. And you sit there and watch him, and he's nuts at it, yeah. and much better. It'd take me all bloody
day. So that's got to be good.
That's good. No, that is good.
Yeah.
But so, the problem is, Bill, once it's made, it never, ever gets touched again.
So where does it go?
I don't know. It plonks somewhere,
yeah.
And then within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's got bits falling off it, and... Never again is it touched.
Mm.
So obviously in a young bloke's mind,
yeah.
It's like, righto, well, it's a challenge to make it. But yep. As soon as you made it, no interest in touching it again.
Yep.
No interest in having a communal Lego pit to make other stuff.
So you don't break it all up again and go again.
So, no, never go again. Never made again and never used for any other purpose.
Well,
which
gives useless.
And bloody expensive.
Oh, mate, very expensive.
So I look at it and go, in a lot of ways, outside of the first 15 minutes of it being in the house, it's completely and utterly bloody useless.
Useless, Jim.
So hence...
Hence!
133353, ring us if you can nominate anything that's more useless than Lego. Is there anything more useless than Lego? Because it costs a bloody bomb.
It does.
And if you're like my young bloke, he's got them done in a minute because he's good at it.
Yep.
So it's amazing watching him do it. But within 15 minutes, it is totally obsolete from that moment on.
I'll give you one like that.
Go on.
A jigsaw puzzle.
There you are.
Because it's good to do it, fair enough. And it might take a day or two. But then when it's done, you've got to have a desk or somewhere to put it all,
Jim. Put it there.
Exactly.
And once you've done it, you're not inclined to do it again.
No, you don't.
Yeah. All right, Bo's in Frankston. Bo?
Bo.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
What's...
My useless thing is these new fidget spinners that kids have got these days. At least with Lego, you're building something.
Well, I guess the only thing with that, Bo, is my kids are into them too, and I know Bill's young bloke is.
Maxie, yeah.
But once they keep using them, though. Like, they've got repeat use. My issue with Lego is once this thing's done, he never touches it again.
And the fidget spinner, what I'm hearing, Bo, is that it's good for kids with ADHD. You know, and they've got to be doing something all the time. Or whatever. What is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Good. They always got to be doing something, you know? And it's good for them. That's what I heard, Bowie.
Yeah, I think they're just useless.
All right.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Then, I'm hearing you. I do watch my two spinning it around.
But they do, you're right. They do nothing, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan's in Cranbourne.
Hey, Brendo.
Hey, how you going, boys?
Good.
The show.
What's useless? More useless than Lego?
Currently, my real estate agent and landlord.
Oh, what's going on?
we had about a month period where we had no hot water, and we've currently gone about 2 weeks with the toilet that doesn't flush.
Geez, that'd be good. No hot water and the dunny doesn't flash.
No.
Well,
I can understand why he's not overly happy.
No. That'd be no good, Jim.
No.
That's
the old real estate agent, Gav in Somerville. How are you, Gav?
G'day, James. William, how are you?
Hey, Gavin.
Mine, Play-Doh.
Oh, what do you do with it after you've played with it?
Well, it all dries up and the bloody kids just throw it on the ground and I've got to pick it up and they just wander off somewhere else. It's useless.
Yeah, true.
That is true.
And it doesn't stay soft all the time, does it? It goes hard, doesn't it?
No, it goes hard it ends up clogging the bloody vacuum cleaner up and it's useless.
Says Gav, who'd be doing the vacuuming, yeah.
ADHD is what I think you're referring to before, is it?
Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Jace is in Seaford. I agree with Gav, by the way. Play-Doh, yes. Jace in Seaford, we're talking about something that's more useless than bloody Lego.
Yeah, g'day, Jim and Fat. How you doing?
Hey, Jace, what is it?
I was going to say Richmond with 30 seconds to go.
Oh, good one, Jace.
Oh, come on, Jace.
They have been the last couple of weeks,
hurts.
Jim.
That hurts them too.
30 seconds, Jim.
Oh, no.
Out of bounds, throw it in, hold it in the pack.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
You barrack for the Tigers?
No, I'm a Catters boy.
Oh, how good were they?
So he's just putting one into the solar plexus of your Tiger there.
Feline family.
Pat from Altona. Hey, Pat.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Patty.
What do you got?
Something that's a bit like the Lego is it's half the power tools that I buy I use for one thing and then they just sit on a shelf for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least
I've got about a couple of grand worth of tools sitting there doing nothing.
Paddy, at least you've used them once.
Yes.
I reckon
that's it.
In this job, I reckon I've been given about 7 or 8 that are still in the box.
The blowers and the hedge cutters,
never
Jim. Still in
my way, I'll use them once.
Still in the box.
Never got mine out of the box.
Remember I hid mine in front of the car downstairs and I drove off.
Over top. Come on, Bill.
They were very nice to give us that blower.
No, that's it.
Never got it.
Never actually got out. Mix in pack and a mullow, Mick.
Oh.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mickey.
More useless than Lego?
My wife's extensive collection of Tupperware that sits in cupboards all its life.
Oh, don't they love them too? All different shapes and sizes.
Oh, it's ridiculous, mate. You can't open the drawers. You can't close them.
Jeez.
I like it.
What do they use them for? When they freeze something?
Yeah, I don't know. Anthony, we couldn't get to from North Fitzroy, talking about Pokemon cards. I agree with that too.
What the hell are they? I don't get them.
And they used to be around when Henry and Jono were this age. So it's like 10, 15 years ago.
They're obviously like footy cards, I assume. Jim?
But I don't know. I didn't get the Pokemon. I'm with him though. They're also equally bloody useless.
Useless.
Of course, we got the Triple M merchandise pack put together by Jen, who is at the moment diving into some of the best material she's ever read online.
Oh, yes.
We've managed to prize her away for that for long enough, Bill,
yes,
to put this pack together for the best social media feedback we've had today.
Yes, indeed. And we've got about seven that say Simmons Stadium.
Oh.
Haven't they jumped on board, Jim?
They're not getting anything.
No, Brandon and Cameron Fletcher says, I'm 30 and have Lego in display cabinets, Jim.
Jeez.
But he's not winning anything either. More useless is Simmons Stadium. Michael, thank you, Michael.
Yes.
So there's a lot of that one, Jimmy. Miss Bugsley, she's not winning either. But she said the Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
Which wasn't too bad,
No, but once you've conquered it, you're never using it again.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Lookie said the Simmons Stadium. So they've all had a bit of fun with that.
Right. Yes.
But also, have you got any off Facebook, Cocker?
I was just having a crack at you about your jokes. You're pretty useless at telling jokes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But the winner, Jim, the winner after all this, is Chris Ferrari.
Yes.
And he says, what's more useless than Lego? The ships that are inside glass bottles.
Yeah.
Which, the ships that are inside glass bottles, Jim.
Oh, no. What sort of feedback's that, please?
Well, it's an interesting one. I've never really thought. Well, they are useless. They just sit there, Jim.
Well, they're a decorative thing, Bill.
They're decorative.
They're not probably for manual use.
What about when you go to someone's house and you either see like 50 teaspoons up on the wall and you go, we'll get out of here.
It's not quite right.
Lucky you're chasing some bird and she takes you in there, so you hang around for a while.
Jim,
a bloke's got a ship in a bottle sitting on top of the telly or the mantelpiece.
Yeah,
and you go, righto, we'll get out of here.
That'll be enough.
So well done, Chris Ferrari.
A cheesel, anyone?
A cheesel.
A little bit of Topics Brownless on the way, and then Sharni Layton, of course, netballer for the Magpies. Looking forward to chatting to her as well.
Bit of footy news, Jim. Christian Salem has accepted the one-match ban. Ben Cunnington has accepted the $1,000 fine, Jim. We're lucky to get that, I think. Cats and Motlop in no rush to start contract talks.
That's interesting.
He's out of contract at the end of the year, the Stevie Motlop. So they'll sit down at some stage and work something out, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Naive Bulldog forward amidst a brain fade. That's, of course, Travis Cloak, who gave away that 50 early in the last quarter. Joel Selwood kicked the goal from there.
Yep.
And the coach wasn't happy with that.
Not happy.
It'd be interesting to see at the selection table if that's enough to maybe lose his spot.
Yeah.
And this one interested me, Jim. Poor old Angus Brayshaw, who we are very fond of in here, is going to take an indefinite break from the game, Jim. So it's his fourth concussion in 12 months.
Yep.
What do you know about that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think anyone knows enough. The data on, how quickly you can come back after having them, whether you get another one straight away, what that does, so I'll give you a scenario. In other words, if you take 5 to 7 weeks off and then come back, let's say, and you play the last 4 or 5 games of the season and you get a concussion then, is that any different to taking the rest of the season off, getting to round 3 of next year and having a concussion? Yeah. Are you any worse or better off with a longer break?
Have they done studies?
I have. Well, he's done all the testing and passed with flying colours. So that's the good news. But the fact that they keep happening and the fact that they really don't know how long off is better, if you know what I mean, means that, I think he's going to have that indefinite break. The good thing is he can stay training really hard. He can't do the contact, but he can do all the leg work.
So he can still run and
he can
do
still do all of that. But then it's a matter of when is it appropriate to come back and engage in contact?
Yeah.
And what does it mean if you suffer another one? The odds are that you might, but the odds are also that he could play 200 straight games and not get another one.
Yeah.
But I just think because so much is unknown, they need to take extreme caution, which is what they're doing. And poor bugger, I feel desperate for him because
he just want to play footy.
Oh, that's all he wants to do. Yeah. And he had a massive preseason, ticked every box the whole way through the preseason, got to round one, and he's already had two so far this season. So I do feel very, very desperate for him.
Yep.
But he's a beautiful kid. His family, obviously, very important to me, and much more important that in 50 or 60 years' time, he's in good shape.
That's
They've been careful, so they should. But I just think that whole space, Bill, so much is unknown.
Yeah, true.
What's happening in the NFL? Yeah. With the gridiron players.
Yep.
We don't want any of that in our game. So I applaud the caution. Now, I'll tell you what we need to do.
What?
Get to a song.
Oh, yes.
Because next.
Topics.
Well, you better get it right because I just look at 83 callers here. And 83. I know the bloke in the previous hour got it right.
You had 7. Ah, Jimmy boy, what goes round?
Well, come on, topics.
Must calm down.
Nothing like that. But
exactly.
Anyway, yep.
Now, Jim, let's get it in touch again with the audience, with the family.
No, that's it, Bill.
We like the family, Jim.
Nice, yes.
What is your go-to hangover food? What is your go-to hangover food, Jim?
Why are you asking this question?
I need to know. Because last Friday, very excited, down there at Geelong and did the show from there, Jim, and the stand and the lights and everything like that.
Yes.
Got very, very excited.
Emotional.
Emotional. Tired and emotional, Jim.
Yes.
Got in with Big Barron's. We did the pivots.
Oh, no.
It started at 6 p.m. Jim having a froth.
Big Barron's, Stoneham.
Big Barron's there, yes. And he just wants to have a beer. So we have a few frothies, right?
Yes.
And then we have a great night, of course, and we do some very good interviews with Gil and everyone else.
Yes.
And
who
were the other blokes? Yeah. Anyway,
what happened?
And we go again, and we're excited. And the Cats win. They have a few more frothies, Jim.
Mm.
And then we head over to the Lord of the Isles with Big Roadblock Burnett.
Oh, Big Rock and Burnett.
Yeah, and we have a few more frothies, Jim.
Oh, come on.
And then it's time to go
That's
home.
It is.
If you had a house key, it would have been good. But
even
anyway,
better.
Thank you, Macca. Where I stayed. But Jim, I woke up Saturday very, very dusty.
A little dusty Martin.
Very slim.
Mm.
Dusty. Let me tell you, I was crook, Jim.
Yeah, so
I was crook. So I want to know, and that's why we're going to the Rochelle family, what is your go-to hangover food?
Well, I'll tell you mine.
Yes, yeah.
Hungry Jack's Bacon Double Cheeseburger Deluxe.
So when you're hung.
Yep. Nothing better.
Hungry Jack's.
It is. Bill.
What's your drink?
A full Bacon Double Cheeseburger Deluxe.
Yep.
I reckon I've had 2 of them in the last 10 years, both when I thought that my life was going to end.
Oh, so yeah. That's that what happens.
Do you feel that bad? Yep. And then a full-strength Coke.
A full-strength Coke.
Yep, the old truckie's Disprin.
Yes.
And, Bill, after those two, it is staggering how quickly you feel better.
Oh, well, I didn't eat all day. I had a coffee, Jim, and then at about 4 o'clock I was driving down Chapel Street, and there's a diner there, American diner.
Yep.
So I went in there and got a double cheese hamburger, Jim.
I'm
exactly. Double cheese hamburger, but I go the other way. So I like milkshakes or thick shakes.
I can't have any milk. I feel like it's curdling in my guts.
Banana thick shake and the double cheese hamburger. I had that, Jim. I was right. I was nearly felt like having another. I nearly felt like having another frothy after that, Jim. So that's what we want to know. What's your go-to hangover food and drink?
Yes, exactly. If you need it, and this is medicinal for the family.
Medicinal.
Everyone listening will go, next time.
That's right.
I'll remember.
I'll have the weed.
Oh, the bacon double cheeseburger.
Oh, hungry.
Jesus, good, Bill. It's as good as it gets.
We got no more room, so no more calls, please, because we've just broken the. The phone has ran off.
Come on.
What's your go-to hangover food drink?
I tell you, a great mate of mine who's listening, we used to play together in Kensington in Adelaide with a bloke called Big King-O Critchley.
King-O. What was his go-to?
And he's called King-O because he's a sizable boy.
Yes.
And according to Clack, Big King-O went with a whole chook. Bones and all.
The whole lot.
He ate the lot, Bill.
Come on, Kingo.
Bones and everything.
What did he wash it down with?
Come on, Kingo.
Come
a couple
on, Kingo.
Of Farmers Union iced coffees.
Farmers, they I love them over
I can't believe he ate it, bones and all.
Marshy.
You get to him, Altona Meadow.
Come on, Marshy. What's your go-to food?
G'day, boys. Look, Billy, I'm tipping this will strike a key with you, mate. I'm a big fan of fried Dingy's tomato sauce washed down with some Melbourne long necks. Mate,
only
way to get over these things. The old Melbourne's, mate, they're like angels pissing on your tongue. You can't get better.
The King Brown.
Melbourne bitter.
King Brown, boys. Straight back into it.
I'm with you with the dim sims, but I don't know if you're really hung, you can't
have go with a King Brown. Mind you, I do love Melbourne bitter. That's very nice. All right, let's get to Michael in Mill Park. Mick.
Hey, boys, how are we? Great topic, Bill.
Yeah, I would have thought, yes.
You can't go past KFC. A nice Zinger box, extra salt on the chips, some winter wings. It's delicious.
The Zinger box. So what do you get in the box?
You get 3 wicker wings, you get a potato and gravy, a chip. And a Zinger burger. It's
and delicious. A burger.
I tell you, the potato and gravy.
Oh, Jim.
If you don't start farting after
having
Bill,
God.
You can't stop.
I had it the other night. You dunked your chips in it, you put your chicken in it.
And then immediately you start trumpeting out the back. That's what it's there
I'm
for.
Just working on one up now, Jim.
Yeah, well, you go out of this room. Squiz in Carrum Downs. Hello, Squiz.
Squizzy. Come on, Squizzy.
There you go, mate.
We're touching all the big topics here. How do you get over a hangover?
Well, throwing tomorrow.
tomato juice.
Yes, tomato juice, yeah.
Salt and pepper, and worst kind of the worst, but Tabasco sauce as well.
Oh, it's like the Bloody Mary
yeah. without the vodka.
Sorry?
The Bloody Mary without the vodka, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, mate, yeah.
Righto.
Well, thank you, Squid.
Get to Bendigo.
Come on, Squid. Brett. You like a frothy fret? Brett.
Brett. What do you got for us, Brett?
You talking to me?
Yes, we're talking to you, Brett.
I love you guys, man. I listen to you guys every day.
You're the one.
What do you go with?
Mate, I go with a Red Rooster, mate. Oh. Chicken roll, mate. You know that gooey sauce? It just, yeah. Oh, mate, it fixes me hangover.
I love chicken rolls from Red Rooster. They're gold.
But I don't stop there, man. I go to the bloody fish and chip shop, mate, and I get a bloody, I gotta get a Chico roll. Been a Bendigo boy. Chico roll. And a tomato juice. I love the tomato juice.
Oh,
but, yeah.
No.
But later on for dinner, I'll grab the dirty bird, mate.
Oh, what's that?
And I'm fixed, mate. I'm off to bed and I'm, yeah, next morning.
Yeah, I'll get you, Brett.
I'll just leave it there. Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure.
Dylan's in Geelong.
Dilza.
Dil.
What's going on, boy?
We're just living the dream. How do you get over a hangover, please?
Well, I reckon Bill will like this one.
What is it?
Geelong boy, I ring up the local Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
We start with cheese pizza, garlic bread, and Pepsi.
A cheese pizza. So it's got nothing else on it but cheese.
Nut cheese and bit of
sauce.
Hungover.
And a Pepsi.
And a Pepsi.
You can't be
nice tricky. Cold one, but a cheese pizza's quite nice,
Bill,
Jim.
I've never had a cheese pizza.
Oh, Chris is there in Dingley. Jim, we've gone off the board. You had to move that. G'day, Chris.
G'day, boys. How you going?
What's your go-to hangover food drink?
I start off with a Slurpee from 7-Eleven.
What Coke kind? Slurpee. Which one? Coke, yeah.
Just a Coke. And then a bacon and egg roll from Macca's.
Yes.
And then back to the couch for the rest of the day.
Oh, back to the couch. I love it. All right. Robin in Langwarrin. Robin?
Hi, boys.
Robin. Oh, now, what do you do? Hopefully you'll bring some sense into this conversation.
Probably not.
No.
Triple bacon roll and a can of Coke.
You got to have a can of Coke.
Oh, tricky.
Full strengther.
Triple bacon roll.
Triple bacon roll.
Hey, Rob, there's no diet or no Coke Zero. It's your
full-blown Coke.
Yep, yeah, I agree with that. It's good, Bill.
I know, Jim. Well, you have it all the time.
Yep.
Twice you have it in your life. You've been hungover.
And Matt from Narre Warren reckons the halal snack pack.
What's a halal snack pack?
Yeah, we're just seeing them as they come in. All right. Well, 129 callers. I provided 90.
Oh, hand in from Leighton. The deflection. Too long. Leighton comes up with the goods.
Just too much pressure.
The night goes to the visitors. The Collingwood Magpies now cemented in the top four.
And by the look of what I'm seeing here, are going to play the Vixens round one of the finals if one plays four. Is that right, Chance?
I'm not sure about that.
What happens?
Yeah, so at the moment, exciting times.
Yes.
Not one plays four, one plays two.
Too
so
nice.
There's no way we'll play the Vixens.
Okay, good.
At this current point in time, it's most likely that we'll play the Giants. But depending on who wins this weekend between Lightning and Giants.
Mind you, you wouldn't mind playing the Vixens, I don't reckon.
Oh, mate, bring it town. On. Yes. Absolutely. But we want to save it for
grand
the big
final.
One.
Yeah,
grand
exactly.
final. We want the old Melbourne grand final, and so that Bill can eat his words and put on the black and white.
No.
Yes.
Go the Vix. I've been with them all year. I haven't dropped off them, but I like the way that the Magpies have come together.
Do you?
You've rallied well late in the year and just found your form.
We have. It was almost just after that Easter break. I think it was just before that I spoke to you guys.
Yes.
Last, and it was all up in the air, and we just needed a bit of chill time. Just relax, take it easy, pass and throw, get the goal in the hoop, get a few intercepts, and you're on your way.
Kiss.
It is. It's not complicated, right?
Well, but the only worry I've got with you guys is with Thwaitse, the goal shooter.
Yes.
She needs some help because I think you had 49 goals on the weekend. She scores 45.
But you know, mate, as long as you're getting those 45, then your team's got to play
their role. But she's doing
it
all.
So she's killing it, though, as well, and that is her role. So, as I said to you, I think earlier on in the year, Bill, when you brought up the same thing, in netball it's a team sport, and, you know, if we want to give Tweety the glory because she's awesome and she's worked hard for it. And, our goal attacks it. But how was Shay Brown, I don't know if you saw this on the weekend.
Shay, yes.
Attackers aren't meant to get intercepts. They're a bit princesses generally.
Are.
They're
yeah.
not yep. as tough as us defenders.
Yes.
But she did. She came on tough and got two intercepts.
Two?
So, yeah, it was incredible.
And they are nuts. They're gold in your game.
Yeah,
as soon as you intercept, you score at the other end, basically. Yeah. And then that's how you end up winning the way you did against the bloody West Coast. I mean, seriously, what's going on over there?
They're no good.
Footy's gone south, the West Coast, the bloody netball's gone.
It's too far away, mate.
West Coast fever.
Well, I was wrecked on that flight, so I don't know how they do that every weekend.
Did you travel with Collingwood, the team? You did that at the start of the year, didn't you?
Travel with?
With the boys.
No. No. Oh, that was the AFL girls.
Oh,
yeah, but
yeah,
we
sorry.
All have always. Yeah. We haven't had any games line up, actually. So, no, we were on the plane with the Blues
boys. No good
boys,
for you,
Sean. Yeah, no
you,
good for me.
Have you been
no,
watching?
Indeed. So.
Did you go on the weekend to watch Collingwood play?
We were playing at the same time, mate. So, you know, I did a quarter time, just got up Twitter and had a bit of a look and thought, gosh, they're not doing too well.
No.
And then at the end of the game, boom, they came back, beat the Hawks up the pie.
Geez, you seem to be a passionate supporter all of a sudden.
Mate, I know where this is going. You led me right into that one, Billy.
Yeah, geez, you're
are
right.
Are we
you're
going into love song dedications here?
Yeah, we are. Will you want to dedicate a song to anyone out there in Collingwood land?
Oh, what about, I don't mind the song You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
And who are you going to dedicate it to?
To you, Bill.
To Mace. Now, you're an item.
Oh, here we go.
Because big Mace come in here and said that I'm going out with Shani and I love her.
Did he?
He actually said
put
he loved
it out there. I doubt he'd use that old word, Billy, but you might be causing a little bit of trouble
he
here.
He said he loves you, so you do want to.
He should.
Do you want
to? Just do a bit of a shout out. Mason.
Well, yes, have you found the song for a start?
Is this really
the
one? What is this?
It's the song you want.
Oh, there's old Blunty.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I'm a really great singer out there.
Oh, no.
This is for you, Mason. I've loved you for a long time.
My life is brilliant.
Have you got the chorus there, mate?
No. We're getting to it.
No,
yeah,
that's
we're
it.
Getting there, mate.
No, it's good, it's good news. You're allowed to go out with each other. It's a free world and you can see who you are. So good on you, I say.
Thank you.
Well done.
I can date whoever I want. It's
and
great.
It's helped your netball.
Has
I
it?
Think it
do
has.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's tried. Yeah. I thought it might have calmed you down, but no.
No, we go out, we kick the footy. So, yeah.
Well, at least he's tall, as you are, Sean.
Yeah,
so
you know
you've
what,
got an
JB,
issue there.
I'm not a heightist, though.
No.
Like, so, you know,
so you would go out with a small guy?
I would, yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, maybe, like, within, like, eyebrow range, I reckon. Yeah. So you're out. Bill, you're out, too.
I'm a chance.
So,
no. I'm a chance.
Yeah, all right, baby.
Going out with a yank, too.
Yeah.
What's the old man say?
What? The old man?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Dad's pretty grumpy, so he just kind of sits in the corner either way. He's like, whatever, Sean. So, he's not about it, the old Marcos.
He's a very intelligent man. Engineer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
so,
he is. He's more book smart than me, but, yeah, you know, I've got a
street.
Few life skills.
You've got street
I'm contributing.
Smart. You're street smart. That's what you are. So
are you now more passionate about footy than you were?
No.
Because of the interest. No,
it's almost the opposite. Like, we don't even talk about sport, and that's the best thing about it. We both, like, go on adventures and road trips and, the fact that he's not completely sport-minded is probably the thing that, isn't it, mate?
You go on road trips,
just in heaven over here. Everyone, we go on road trips.
Where do you go?
We go down the peninsula.
Geelong?
You know, not Geelong.
No, have a look at the stand. Do yourself a favour and have a look at the lights
Geelong.
In the stand down there.
Yeah, is that cute? Is that your little romantic tip for me?
Drive to Geelong.
Mate, I wouldn't be
plenty of
seen
people.
Dead in that stadium.
Oh. Where's your favourite joint? Because you've lived in about 10 different towns.
I love them all for what they are.
What did I read? You've moved 12 times in 10 years.
Yeah, I have.
What's
yeah,
that
but that's
for?
Houses as well. But I was Melbourne, Canberra, Melbourne, Adelaide for 4 years, Sydney for 3 years, and then I've just come home. So, but Canberra, easy to get around. I'm a pretty, pretty easy going chick. So I don't like the hectic lifestyle. Adelaide, awesome, great wineries. Beaches also tops. And then Sydney. Didn't love it at the start, but learnt to love it because it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's just my favourite song today. So love it. But Melbourne, obviously the culture, the sporting vibe, sporting capital of the world, it's where you're going
to
be.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Don't worry about that. She gets around, Jim. It's all for money, too.
Was it? No, it was for opportunity, mate.
Opportunity.
I was a bit of a bench sitter at the start of the days. Had the splinters in the bum, so I had to pull them out and start playing.
We'll take a break with you. More with Shani Layton after this on the Rush Hour.
Mason.
Star of the Collingwood netball team, Shani Layton, with us.
And also current Australian captain, Bill. Is she? You didn't mention that.
Well, I didn't know that, Jim, but I think...
Well, congratulations, Shans. That's a great honour.
Thanks, guys.
Captain of your country.
Yeah, it's a massive honour. Absolutely.
Are you captain...
Childhood dreams come true.
At the Commonwealth Games?
Has that been... So we're doing another vote in July, moving forward. Yes. So after the big G-star, Laura Geitz, stepped away to have her beautiful baby boy, Barney.
Barney,
that is right. Barney Gilbride. That's the country in her. Claire McMinimum stepped in between times, and then Claire's since retired, and so I've stepped in since then. So, we do the leading team system. It's player voted. And so, you know, when it gets to July, the girls can decide who they feel is best fitting for that role at the time. So moving forward, it is in question who the next Australian captain will be. But you know,
well,
I'll claim
liked.
It for now.
You're very well liked, I assume, because they all think you're mad and they love you down back, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they know that I'm mad. Yes. Absolutely. So whether that's well liked or not, I'm unsure. But you give it your all.
That's
I do always.
All
you got to leave it all out on the court.
Exactly.
And you've had bloody tough times in your time too. This is all stuff that the family need to know about. You've had a dislocated elbow, ruptured your ankle ligament, slip disc in your back, which is bloody hard to operate with.
Yes.
Shoulder surgery.
Correct.
You've lost nearly 2 years in your playing career.
Look at you guys go. This is
done
awesome.
Some research.
Yeah. Right, of course we have.
I have. And to be honest, I reckon that's what's kind of driven me to be where I am today. And like, I've been playing for 12 years now, but because I was on the bench so much when I was younger, people don't realize how long I've actually been around. But that's what's kept me motivated, because every time it gets taken away from you, you want it even more. But yeah, I've done about 2.5 years of rehab.
Did you have to have your back operated on? Because if you do have disc problems in your back, doesn't matter what the sport is, it is impossible to play.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's really kind of, I don't know, just disabling, I guess. Yeah. And for me, like, I just had to do Pilates and stuff and, really come to get back from that. But no, I didn't have to have an operation. I just had to have a few cortisones here and there.
Right.
And
so you're going to be all right when you get to 40?
Mate, no. Mate, I don't know if I'll be all right when I get to 30 next year, to be honest with you. So
the ankles
I might
knees.
Need you to push me around on the everything. Just,
knees.
But although coming back to Melbourne, our Collingwood S&C program's like next level. I'm probably the strongest I have been, and robust and pulling up from games now better than I ever have. So that's quite a bonus.
Big Coxie can push you around.
Tell us about Strong Chicks. What's happening there?
Strong Chicks.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a little endeavour with me and the good mate, Shelley Watts.
Who's a boxer.
Australian boxer. Yeah. So Comm Games gold medalist. And we actually met at the Comm Games, which was awesome. And she won. I picked her up and swung her around because I get really excited by these things. And,
no.
We just became really good mates. We were chatting on the phone, as chicks do. And we just kind of realised that we've both had a really similar journey. And we're like, we need to share this with other girls, because I think we take it for granted, because that's what's got us to where we are.
Yep.
But we want to share with like women of Australia how to be confident. We're still finding that out. Just be strong as a chick, really. But we do want to come up with mentoring programs. We're partnering up with Jake Edwards, who runs Outside the Locker Room, who does a lot of great stuff out in the community in regards to, leadership, but then also, drugs and, a lot of education. So we're wanting to join up with him. But there's a lot of stuff with social media these days and body image and all the rest of it. And we just want to teach girls how to be confident within themselves and how to kind of, achieve their dreams.
Cool. And speaking of that, you're out at Toys R Us tomorrow in Werribee.
Yes, I am. I get really excited though, guys. I am. I'm heading out there. So if anyone out Werribee way wants to come hang out, I would love to see you. We get to play on like trampolines. I don't know if we do, but I'll try and figure that one out tomorrow.
So a nice appearance out there.
It is. And
kids, all the girls, all the netty girls can come out.
Yeah, and netty boys too. So Bill, I'll see you there, mate.
Sorry,
you can come out.
No, I'm never any good at netball. I've got no coordination.
Well,
basketball, netball.
You don't have to be to come out and hang at Toys R Us.
How's it go with the netty boys?
What's your favourite store, mate?
It's not bad. I do like some toys they've got.
Yeah.
What time are you out there?
I'm out there from 5 till 7.
5 till 7. All right, Toys R Us in Werribee. Get stuck into that.
Yeah.
Now, Shans, good luck. You've done bloody well to get into the finals.
Thanks,
from where
guys.
We were when we last discussed.
Exactly.
We were just getting the wheels rolling, and now you've absolutely flown home. So, hope you have a great time in the finals.
Yes, thanks, guys.
And I hope the Vixens win.
And Bill's in a headlock. You're out.
Bill, have you got anything that someone's going to remotely have a chance to laugh at?
A couple of people won't like this, Jim.
Oh, no. In the day with a laugh.
This is Billy's joke. Might put off a couple, Jim, so we put up a warning at the start.
Just make it acceptable, Bill, or go with another one.
Do we do? I haven't got any others, Jim.
No.
Where's the most dangerous beach to swim in the world, Jim?
Where?
St Kilda.
Why?
It's only got one flag.
Bill.
No, that wasn't a joke. I just thought of that.
You just thought of that,
yes,
did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, right.
Righto, Jim. My wife and I went to the Yass Agricultural Fair the other day, and one of the exhibits we stopped at was the breeding bulls, Jim.
Right.
Breeding bulls.
Yeah, yes, Bill.
We went up to the first pen. There was a sign there. It said, "This bull mated 50 times last year." Mm. My wife playfully nudged me in the ribs, Jim, and said, "He mated 50 times last year. That's almost once a week."
Yes.
Fair enough. We walked to the second pen. "This bull mated 150 times last year."
Crikey.
My wife gave me a nice healthy jab this time, Jim. This is not me.
No.
That's almost three times a week. You could learn a lot from him,
she
said, Jim.
Yes.
Being very mischievous. Mm. We walked to the third pen, Jim.
Yes.
And that sign said, "This bull mated 365 times last year."
Wow.
My wife was so excited, Jim. She elbowed me, nearly broke my ribs feeding him. She was that excited. "That's once a day. You could really, really, really learn from him." Oh, I looked at her and said, "Jim, go over and ask him if it was with the same cow."
Oh, oh, no.
Go over and ask him if it was with the same cow.
Oh, what about the delivery? That joke actually had a chance. Like, if you'd properly delivered that last line, it actually had a chance.
And I should be fine in 6 months. That was a bit of an ending too.
Oh,
they loved it.
Come on,
Let's see the feedback here, Jim. Yeah. This will be interesting.
Old Black Bull said you can go to
for another down by the strawberry. You can use the rubbery. Old Black Bull said, "You can go
to buggery.
Mine's too stiff and
sore." Where are we at?
Anyone for a cheesel?
That was the Rush Hour podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.